The bass!
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, it's Monty. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Rockcast.
Gee, it's got a great sounding name. That sounds pretty good to me.
So glad you could join me, and what a special episode this is going to be. It's become a yearly tradition known as the Top 10 Playoffs. And by the end of this episode, there will be a brand new Top 10 champion. And I gotta say, going into the competition this year, I really don't know who's gonna win. Unlike in the past, there's really no clear-cut favorite. I mean, last year when I got a list from Jimmy the Freak that was top 10 band names that have goat in them, well, it was pretty obvious that that was gonna be a runaway. Because let's face it, when you've got a list that has Goat Whore, Hammer Goat, and Scorched by the Flaming Goat in it, well, no one else really has a chance.
True that.
But this year the field is very competitive, evenly matched. There's a lot of newcomers, and it has the makings for one of the best tournaments ever.
It will be spectacular.
Now, in between all that, I'll be getting to some of your emails and answering some of your questions and doing some CD reviews, hopefully. But why wait a second longer? I know everyone wants me to go ahead and jump into the top 10 playoffs and get it started.
It is just such a big deal.
First of all, let me explain how all this works. I've been getting top 10 lists from you guys all year long, and I got so many of them, I didn't even get to read all of them. And if you sent me one and I didn't get to it, well, I'm sorry. I'll try and read it in the coming year on a new episode. But once again, I'm sorry, just try and be patient.
I'm sick and tired of this apology crap.
Now, for everyone whose list I did read on the show, I went through with a fine-tooth comb and narrowed them all down to 16 finalists. And then I broke it down into 8 brackets of 2. And each bracket will have a winner who will move on, and we'll eventually have a final with 2 people where I will crown an ultimate champion.
I'm a little confused by this.
Now, how does a person advance in this competition? Well, it's based on a highly scientific system where I basically take all the information, evaluate it, and then just pick the list that I like.
That's not fair.
So now that we've gotten the rules out of the way, let's get into bracket number 1 that has Tim Brawbender against Stu Sturgis.
These people are friggin' nuts.
I believe this is the first year that Tim has been in the playoffs, but his list was top 10 LPs, concerts, or events that shaped a young man growing up in the 70s. And he is going up against Stu in Springfield, Missouri, who sent me his top 10 rock and roll magazines of all time. And I really enjoyed both of these lists because I was growing up in the 70s also, and I got to kind of reminisce about Circus Magazine and Frampton Comes Alive and stuff like that. And so it's really hard for me to pick a winner between these two, but I'm going to go with Tim in Wisconsin. I related to a lot of stuff on Tim's list, but he said that in 1978 in Green Bay, he saw Blue Oyster Cult, and he said, "Lasers, man, lasers."
Can you dig it?
So congratulations, Tim. You are moving on. But in bracket number 2, we have Angel in Houston against Eric in Orange County. And Eric's list was top 10 stupid band names, which included Toad the Wet Sprocket, I Wrestled a Bear Once, and Chunk No Captain Chunk. And I liked that list a lot, but Angel in Houston sent me his top 10 things that piss him off about rockers and metalheads. And at number one on his list was Lynyrd Skynyrd, Pink Floyd, and Steely Dan are bands. Quit calling them he.
I'm outraged.
Well, it seemed to me like Angel put a lot of time and thought into his list, and based on that, I'm going to say Angel Martinez in Houston moves on.
Kickers.
All right, way to go, Angel. And that would bring us to bracket number three, with Ryan Kellison going up against Paul in Florida. And Ryan's list was top 10 songs that you can't touch, which were basically 10 songs with the word hammer in them. And Paul's list was 10 things that annoy the crap out of him about society these days. And so I took a look at both lists, and even though I really thought Ryan's list was clever, and you got titles like Divine Hammer, Sledgehammer, and 10-Ton Hammer, Paul did a lot of complaining in his list, and I like that. So Paul moves on. Now, some of you may think that the Rockcast is this little show that just reaches a few people in the U.S., but no, it's worldwide. And in bracket number four, you got Cindy in Costa Rica with metal songs in Spanish against Bruno in the UK, who had music he couldn't listen to when he was a kid because it was from the devil.
Satanic!
Well, I love both these people because Cindy's a longtime listener and a Hall of Famer. And Bruno ordered a Rockcast t-shirt and even sent me a donation at one point. So it makes it a really tough choice. But since I could not pronounce most of the names and song titles on Cindy's list because they were in Spanish, I'm going to have to go with Bruno, and he moves on.
I think that is fair.
All right, in bracket number five, you got Patrick Edmonds in Minnesota with his top 10 favorite cartoons and animated shows. And that one was really fun because you had stuff like King of the Hill, The Simpsons, Family Guy, and Ren and Stimpy.
Are you crazy?
Unfortunately, Patrick has to face off against Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And David's list was the top 10 musicians that he is predicting will die next. And I gotta say, his list was so incredibly morbid and kind of almost disgusting that I actually kind of liked it. So congratulations, David. You are advancing on to the next round.
Isn't that just sick?
In the next bracket, we've got Emmett Hall with his 10 reasons to love or be a galactic cowboy, going up against Greg Skipton and his top 10 list that he will never send to the Rockcast. And I liked Emmett's list because it was creative and he used a lot of imagination, but mainly because it was about galactic cowboys. And in the past, Emmett, that would have gotten you pretty far in this tournament. But this year, the competition is fierce. And perhaps if you'd gone with something like Top 10 Reasons to Love Crunchy, well, that might have gotten you further. But this year, unfortunately, it's only going to get you to the Sweet 16 because Greg Skipton is moving on. Only two brackets left, and in this one, we've got Patrick Wolfe going up against Scott Gibson. And Scott's list was songs that he never needs to hear again. That included stuff by the Backstreet Boys and Four Non Blondes. And Patrick sent me his top 10 list of Judas Priest, How Did We Not See That Coming, album and song titles. And when you combine the fact that Patrick commissioned me to do a painting of his dog with song titles like Ram It Down and Eat Me Alive, well, the clear winner of this round is Patrick Wolfe. Congratulations. And that would leave us with just two more spots. And in the final bracket, we've got Paul Morgan with his top 10 rock and roll nicknames going up against Keith Deering and his top 10 bassist with the most recognizable sounds or styles. And man, talk about a tough matchup. I like both of these guys. They both sent me numerous lists this year, and Keith's list of bassists with recognizable bass sounds included Lemmy, Gene Simmons, Geddy Lee, Steve Harris, Billy Sheehan, and me.
You?
But let me be clear, trying to flatter the host of this show and the judge of this competition will not necessarily guarantee you advancement in this competition. I will remain fair and unbiased at all times.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so let's look at Paul's list of rock and roll nicknames. He had Clown from Slipknot, Dimebag Darrell, and Diamond Dave, David Lee Roth. Of course, Paul usually sends me really cool Christmas gifts, too. And this year he sent me these salt and pepper shakers. And when you put them together, they form a hand that's given the devil horns.
Satanic!
Yeah, they're awesome. But since I'm fair, moving on is Keith Deering. Congratulations. Okay, so that leaves us with eight. And to recap, the people moving on are Tim in Green Bay, Angel in Houston, Paul in Florida, Bruno in the UK, Mr. David Whiteman, Greg Skipton in Texas, Patrick Wolf, and Keith Deering. One of those guys will be crowned king of the top tens later on in this episode. Stay tuned. I think what I'll do right now is a little segment that I like to call Rock Talk. And the first thing I want to talk about is something that I'm very excited about. And no, it's not about Galactic Cowboys. I'll talk more about that later, but hear me out. Because what I want to tell you about has to do with one of the greatest live rock bands ever. And of course, I am talking about Rammstein.
Brutal!
You see, I have wanted to see Rammstein live for years, but they almost never tour in America. And what I've heard is that their show is so massive and it's got all kinds of pyro and fire in it, and no one wants to insure them. Like, all these arenas are afraid they're going to burn the place down. So I had gotten to the place where I didn't think I was ever going to see them, but they were definitely on my bucket list. And so a few months ago, I was on the internet, and I saw that they were going to be playing a big festival in France. And so I went to my wife, Lindsay, and I said, "Hey, listen, last summer you made me go with you and the kids on vacation, and we had to go camping. And you basically forced me to get in a canoe and stay in a log cabin. So this year for vacation, how about we leave the kids at home and we get some plane tickets and fly to France and see Rammstein?" And she said, "Well, that sounds great, but it's going to be awfully expensive. I don't know if we can do that or not. I mean, the plane tickets alone to Europe are going to be outrageous." And I was like, "All right, well, it was a nice thought." So I kind of gave up on that, but then the other day I was listening to the Jamie Josta podcast, and he happens to mention that his band Hatebreed is going to be playing in July this summer at the Chicago Open Air Festival. And he says, "We're going to be playing the same day as Ministry, Chevelle of Mice and Men, Meshuggah, The Devil Wears Prada, In This Moment, Trivium, Drowning Pool, The Butcher Babies, and oh yeah, by the way, the headliner is Rammstein."
Yeah!
Well, at first, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, and I thought, I haven't heard anything about this show. And so I run to my computer and look it up, and sure enough, there it is, Chicago Open Air Festival, outside in July, and Rammstein is headlining on that Friday. And so I hit the button for buy tickets, and the entire weekend was sold out.
Oh!
Well, that might have stopped most people, but not me. I went to one of those websites that sells concert tickets, and I paid way too much.
So irresponsible!
But what the hell? It's a vacation, right? And so we're going to drive to Chicago this summer and see Rammstein, and I cannot wait. And if you live in Chicago and you're going to go to this festival, well, let me know. Maybe we can hang out. I'd love to go the other 2 days, too, but I can't afford it. But it sounds like it's going to be really good. On Saturday, it's going to be Disturbed, Korn, Breaking Benjamin, Alter Bridge, and Helmet. And then on Sunday, the headliner is Slipknot, Marilyn Manson, let's see, Bullet for My Valentine, Killswitch Engage, Baby Metal, Asking Alexandria, Corrosion of Conformity, let's see, All That Remains, and We Came as Romans. But like I said, we're going to the Friday show, and it is going to be awesome.
Grow up!
So anyway, I heard about this festival on the Jamie Josta podcast. And I've told you before that I really like that podcast. I listen to it all the time. And I've had a lot of you guys write me and tell me that you listen to the Josta show too. And recently you heard him interview Brian Slagle from Metal Blade Records. And of course, Galactic Cowboys were on Metal Blade for several years. And I've known Brian for a long time, and so I was interested to hear what he said during the interview. And so I get my iPod, and I'm listening to it while I do the dishes. And Jost is asking him questions like, who do you wish you would have signed that you didn't? And he said, of course, Metallica. And then he says, well, who's a band that you did sign, and you thought they could have been huge, but they weren't? And he said, Armored Saint. And then he says, well, who's the band that you spent the most money on, but they didn't pan out? And he says, Galactic Cowboys.
Go!
And he says, you know, I thought they were incredible, but they just never caught on. And, you know, let me just say that I love Brian. He's an awesome dude, and I appreciate everything that he did for us. And he did say we were incredible, so that was really nice. On the other hand, it was kind of like getting complimented and then kicked in the balls at the same time.
It really hurts.
But in our defense, I've got to say that yes, Brian gave us a lot of money to do some albums, and we made some really great albums. And that was our job. And not only did we supply Metal Blade with some really heavy stuff that they could have sold, we also gave them some tunes that had the potential to be hit songs. And it wasn't our job to get radio stations to play it. But you kind of got to remember that that was in the 90s. And Nirvana was all the rage, and metal really wasn't that popular. So I don't know what happened, but maybe we just came along at the wrong time.
Well, maybe you're not that good.
But I do know that I'll always be grateful to Metal Blade and Brian Slagle for giving us the opportunity to make those albums in the first place. Brian has always signed stuff that he likes, and I really respect him for that. He's not out there just trying to sign the next boy band, and I think that's very commendable.
Hell yeah.
And now for a quick CD review. I just got the new one from one of my favorite bands of all time, Killswitch Engage.
They rule!
The name of the CD is Incarnate or Incarnate, but however you want to pronounce it, it's really, really good. If you like Killswitch, you'll like this because they don't stray far from the path. They pretty much stick to what they do, which is giving you some great riffs and awesome melodies.
Watch!
A lot of this album reminds me of the Times of Grace CD, but I think it's also one of the heaviest things they've ever done. There's some songs on here that are just brutal.
It's hardcore.
And so if you don't like screaming vocals, then no, you're not going to like this. On the other hand, if you like metalcore, these guys are the kings. Nobody does it better. One win is like this any sign. A misconception. A judgment made. A judgment made. It's a mistake. What we create. Will we lose confession? It's tearing us apart. Hate. Hate by design. Hate by design. Is destroying our lives. Sanctify. Yeah. Sanctify. Some understanding. Redefine your life.
So there you go. All hail Adam D. and Killswitch Engage. That guy is a genius. It's another great album, and I love that band. Before I continue on with the top 10 playoffs, I wanted to thank everyone who sent in a list this year. I got a lot of great ones, and some of you guys just barely missed the cut. But like I said, a new season will be starting on the next episode, so send me those lists.
I'm not going to.
But it's time now to see what happens in the Elite Eight. And the first matchup is between Tim in Green Bay and Angel in Houston. And I know Angel, he's a really good guy. He always comes to the Galactic Cowboy reunion shows. But apparently he's really pissed off at rockers and metalheads. And I get that, because after all, I live in Kansas City where stupidity runs rampant.
Yep.
And so I understood when Angel had on his list that he hates people who call radio stations and request the same songs you hear every day. And he also hates Kid Rock, and as if he's Jerry Seinfeld, he says, "He's not a kid, and he doesn't rock! I mean, is he rock? Is he pop? Is he rap? Or is he country? I don't think he even knows! I mean, what's the deal with Kid Rock?" On the other hand, you had Tim's list of LPs, concerts, and events that shaped him as a young man growing up in the 70s. And I'll have to admit that I really related to Tim's list a lot. Because he had stuff on there like Circus and Cream Magazine, and yeah, I had a subscription to Circus. And I used to see ads in there for the band Stars, which Tim also has on his list. And so for nostalgic, sentimental reasons, I'm going to say Tim in Green Bay moves on.
Woo!
The next matchup is between Paul in Florida and Greg Skipton in Texas. And Greg's list was very clever as he sent me a top 10 list of top 10 lists that he will never send to the Rockcast. And some of my favorites included top 10 ways to enjoy yard work, top 10 reasons the media is completely fair and objective, top 10 distinctive differences between Theory of a Dead Man and Nickelback.
Damn straight.
Yes, and number one on his list was top 10 chicken liver recipes.
Delicious.
Well, I love that because Greg has obviously listened to the show enough to know that I hate chicken livers. But will that be enough to move on? Well, let's find out. And his opponent is Paul in Florida, who sent me the top 10 things that annoy the crap out of him about society these days. And Paul said he was inspired by the Get Off My Lawn segment that I do on this show. And it allowed me to do my old man voice when I was reading things on his list like, number 10, left lane highway hogs.
How true it is.
Paul said he also is annoyed that all airlines are now charging for a checked bag.
My goodness.
Yeah, so as you can see, this matchup was brutal. But I gotta say, I love you, Greg Skipton, but the winner of this round is Paul in Florida.
That, to me, is tremendously exciting.
Okay, facing off next is Bruno in the UK against Keith Deering in Texas. And, of course, Keith's list of bass players with recognizable sounds had Doug Pennick, Les Claypool, Billy Sheehan, and me. And obviously, most years, that list would get you all the way to the finals.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately, this was also a year when Bruno in the UK not only sent me a donation, but he sent me a top 10 list of music that he couldn't listen to when he was younger because they're of the devil.
Total evil!
That's right, I too grew up in a household where stuff like Kiss, Black Sabbath, and the Rolling Stones were completely forbidden. And consequently, I could totally relate to Bruno's list, and I loved it. And therefore, Bruno advances on to the next round.
Get rid of all rock music of any kind. It's all sin, wickedness.
And that would leave us with just one spot left in the final four. Who will it be? Well, you got Patrick Wolf with his top 10 list of Judas Priest, How Did We Not See That Coming album and song titles. And yeah, how did we not see that coming? You had song titles like Turbo Lover, Hell Bent for Leather, Hard as Iron, and Leather Rebel.
What?
I suppose Rob Halford could have been talking about hot chicks, but yeah, no.
Everything was gay.
On the other hand, you had Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And David's list was 10 musicians who he figures will be the next to die. And I'll be honest, I kind of like David's list because it's a bit unusual, and it was a topic that's very thought-provoking. But more than anything, I'll admit it, it just gave me a chance to say David's name again. So as much as it kills me to say this, Mr. David Whiteman advances to the final four.
How can this happen?
So there you have it. We've got a final four, which includes Tim in Wisconsin, Paul in Florida, Bruno in the UK, and David Whiteman from, I don't know where he's from, who the hell cares? However, something I do know is that one of them is going to become the top 10 champion and receive an amazing prize package.
The prize package that you're playing for is spectacular.
Ah!
Did I hear somebody say, ask Monty?
Ask Monty.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Ask Monty.
Did you have a question?
Ask Monty.
Ask Monty.
Ask Monty.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask Monty.
The question, jerk!
Well, you have questions, I have answers. And to kick things off, I got an email from Jimmy G in Chicago. And he sent me an article about somebody that worked for Virgin Airlines in Australia had gone on Twitter and called Kanye West a douche. And Jimmy's question is, hey, Monty, is that true?
The answer is yes.
Huh, well, wow, Jimmy, that's hard to answer. Is Kanye West a douche?
Yes, he is.
Well, you see, I don't really know him personally, but what I've seen of him, I gotta say, I'm very impressed.
What?
You see, I am always amazed at people who seemingly have little to no talent whatsoever can at the same time market themselves to the point where everybody thinks that they're a genius. And when you look at Kanye, well, I mean, he auto-tunes everything on his albums, and yet he sells a ton of albums. And he really doesn't seem to be that intelligent, and yet everybody hangs on every word that he says. And he's not really that good-looking, and yet he's married to Kim Kardashian. So is Kanye a douche? Possibly. But is he doing something right? Most definitely.
I know it's the truth!
Next email I've got is from Rockcast Hall of Fame listener Greg Skipton. And he says, hey Monty, I've been hearing quite a bit about the speculation of AC/DC replacing Brian Johnson, maybe permanently, with another singer. I think it would go over about as well as when Van Halen replaced Sammy Hagar with Gary Cherone. What are your thoughts? Well, Greg, I don't think anything will ever go over as bad as that Gary Cherone debacle did. Then again, Iron Maiden tried to replace Bruce Dickinson with Blaze Bailey. Yeah, I saw that tour. It was in a club that was about half full. But, you know, AC/DC is really all about Angus. I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but if I go to see AC/DC, it's to see Angus. But at this point, do I really want to see him find another singer and go out there like some kind of tribute band? Not really. I mean, they're basically down to Cliff Williams and Angus. That's about all that's left. And if you just keep replacing everyone, it's just going to get really sad. And AC/DC should never be thought of as sad. It should always be thought of as awesome. So no, I hope they don't replace Brian Johnson. I think it just may be time to hang it up. And I really hate to see all these classic bands coming to an end. But just like I don't need to see Foreigner with its one original member, I don't want to see some singer from a cover band on stage with AC/DC pushing Angus Young around in a wheelchair.
Absolutely powerful.
The next one is from a really nice guy named Anthony Justice. And Anthony says, hi, Monty. Being a big GC fan, I always wanted to ask about the movie Airheads. It's still a big favorite of mine, and I know the song Don't Hate Me isn't available anywhere, but I was just curious how that whole experience was. Well, Anthony, I gotta say, it was pretty incredible. And the funny thing is, we didn't even know we were gonna be in that movie until about a week before it happened.
Now he has a story to tell, and what a story.
We were on tour with Dream Theater at the time, and we did a show in L.A., and afterwards, our manager, Andy Gould, came by and said, hey, you want to go out to a Hollywood set and watch them film? And we were like, yeah, that sounds like a blast. And we jump in a limo, and they drive us out to the set where they were filming Airheads, and we immediately start meeting people like Judd Nelson. And you're standing there going, oh my God, this guy was in Breakfast Club. And, of course, Steve Buscemi was out there, and he wasn't very well known at the time. And he was wearing this wig, and he comes walking by, and Ben says, hey, you're the drummer for Megadeth. And Buscemi goes, yeah, how you doing? And Ben says, yeah, we met you out in Chicago, remember? And he goes, what? And Buscemi just looks perturbed and goes, no, man, I thought you were kidding. And he just walks off, and Ben turns to me and says, he looks like the drummer from Megadeth, doesn't he? And I go, no.
Awkward.
But besides that, we just walked around and met the director and people like that, and we just thought that was it, and it was a good time, and we were going to leave. Well, we get back in the limo, and our manager says, okay, well now, how would you guys like to be in the movie? And we're like, no way. And he's like, way. And we're like, no way. And he's like, yeah, they want you to be in the movie playing this band called the Sons of Thunder, and they want you to write a song. And so I get up the next morning and I think, you know, this needs to be some kind of hair metal anthem. Because we're playing kind of these douchey rock stars, and so what would they sing? And that's when I remembered this commercial for like some kind of shampoo or something. And there's this model that says, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. And I went, that's it. And so I came up with the chorus for that. And then we sat on the bus, and I think Alan and Ben came up with the verses. And within an hour, we had the song done. And about 5 or 6 days later, they flew us out to Hollywood. We went into the studio in one night and recorded the whole thing. And the next day, we were on the set filming. And while we were there, I got to talk to Michael McKean about Spinal Tap, and I got to meet Joe Mantegna. I briefly got to say hi to Chris Farley, who was running by with a couple of chicks. And the best part is that we basically hung out with Adam Sandler all day, and that guy was a riot.
Here's where the story gets pathetic.
Now, if you're like Anthony and you've seen the movie Airheads, you know that Ben had a line in the movie, and you can see everyone in the band really well, except me. If you freeze frame it, you can maybe catch the back of my head for about 2 seconds. And it's really a shame because while they were filming us, I was doing all kinds of spins and jumping around and doing some great rock star moves. But all that was left on the cutting room floor, and all you see is the back of my head, and that's the way that went. But it was still one of the most exciting experiences we ever had as a band. And certainly one I'll never forget.
Isn't that just special?
And finally, Anthony had one more question. He says he's a big Ramones fan, and he was wondering how close I was with my cousin Dee Dee Ramone before he died. And the answer is, not really much at all. I only met Dee Dee one time. It was actually in the 90s, and I think he was about to quit the band anyway. And they were playing a show in Houston, and I had a friend who was working the show, and he told Dee Dee that I was coming. And so I went to the show, and then afterwards I went backstage. And it was so weird because when I walked into the dressing room, it was just completely quiet. And Johnny's just walking around, and Joey's just standing there with this fangirl about an inch from his face. And she's just talking his head off, but nobody's saying anything. And so it was just real weird, but then Dee Dee comes up and I start talking to him. And I ask him about his bass and he doesn't say anything. And it was feeling kind of awkward. And then he just starts talking about grandma and our cousins and stuff like that. And then it was kind of cool. And so I don't know what the deal was. Maybe they just all hated each other at that point, and I kind of walked into an awkward situation. But that's the only time I met him, but I'm still a huge fan of him and the Ramones. I think they were awesome, and that's the story on that. But I appreciate all of your questions, and this has been another segment of... Time now for the final four of the top 10 playoffs. And oh, how the excitement is building.
It all just gives me a complete headache.
In the first semifinal, we have Wisconsin facing off against Florida, with Tim from Green Bay going up against Paul in Sarasota. And Tim is kind of a Cinderella story. He just came out of nowhere this year, even though he's been a longtime listener. But his list kind of grabbed me because I could relate to a lot of the things that shaped him as a young man growing up in the 70s. For instance, on his list were things like going to see bands in the 70s like REO, Speedwagon, and Head East. And yes, I went to see both of those bands back then. In fact, Head East was the first concert I ever went to. On the other hand, Paul in Florida says he doesn't like the way things are now in society as compared to the way they used to be.
I'm an old man.
In fact, he doesn't like media hype. I don't care about Caitlyn Jenner.
I hate everything but Matlock.
I also don't like software updates, auto-tuning, and DJs that think they're musicians. Just because they can press a few buttons on a laptop doesn't make them songwriters.
A pitiful thing indeed.
So as you can see, this is a tough one. They're very evenly matched, and I could see either one of these in the final. But sometimes the difference between winning and losing comes down to little things, small intangibles. And after I read through Tim's list, I looked down at the bottom of his email, and he had attached a little note that said, "I still think the first Crunchy CD is your best work. Not a bad song on it, in my opinion." And therefore, Tim moves on to the finals. All right, Tim, congratulations. And, you know, sometimes it pays off to be nice to the host. I'm just saying.
What a jerk.
All right.
That's right, you're a jerk.
Now, in the second semifinal matchup, we have Bruno in the UK going up against Mr.
Okay, enough.
Yeah, well, you know who it is.
The new face of evil.
And as it turns out, David is from North Carolina. And on his morbid list of musicians who are next to go were people like Frank Beard, Glenn Tipton, and Steve Perry. On the other hand, when Bruno was a young man, he was not allowed to listen to rock artists like Alice Cooper, Kiss, Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, AC/DC, or even the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah, can you imagine that, telling your kids that the Beatles are satanic?
Yes, I can.
Well, yes, I can imagine it because it happened to me. I'd be wanting to listen to If I Fell in Love with You, and my parents were like, turn that off.
It's of the devil.
So yeah, I could totally relate to Bruno's list, and I love it. And so you would think he'd be a shoo-in to get in the finals, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, not so fast. Because anytime you have a tournament like this, there are always huge upsets. You know, like a little college like Stephen F. Austin knocking off a big powerhouse. And I know some of you had already filled out your top 10 playoff brackets, and you probably had Bruno in the championship. But no, in a shocking upset, Mr. David Whiteman moves on.
You cannot be serious!
Yep, so the stage is set. And it's going to be Tim in Green Bay facing off against David Whiteman from North Carolina. Who will be the champion? Stay tuned. Now, I know you want to find out who's going to win the top 10 playoffs, but before we get to that, I'm going to do a quick segment of What's on TV. This is where I tell you what I've been watching lately, but I'll start out by telling you what I'm not watching, and that's American Idol or The Voice. I am now embarrassed that I used to watch either one of those. And just for the hell of it, I flipped over there for about 5 minutes the other night and watched American Idol, and I almost threw up. The producers of that show may be looking for the next pop superstar, but I'll tell you what they're not looking for, and that's somebody that's creative and artistic.
It's really kind of nauseating.
Now, something that I am watching, but I'm not really enjoying it, is The Walking Dead. My wife started watching the whole thing from the beginning on Netflix, and so I decided to go ahead and join her, and man, is that show a bummer. It's basically the same thing every episode. Some people sit around and kind of mumble about how much life sucks. And then out of nowhere, a zombie pops up and tries to bite them, and they get away somehow. And then at the end of the episode, somebody dies.
Really enjoyable.
And so it's almost always the same, and it's always depressing. Except for once in a while, a couple of the characters will decide to, have relations. And I found that interesting, you know, because I've always wondered, someday, if there is indeed a zombie apocalypse, will people still want to get it on? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, you would! Ho-ho!
And finally, I saw a couple of music-related shows on the Axis channel on my cable, and one was a Dan Rather interview of Sammy Hagar. And I just found it amusing to hear Dan Rather talking about rock and roll. Because he was like, Sammy Hagar, before he joined Van Halen, had a successful solo career, where he had hit songs like Your Love Is Driving Me Crazy. And then during the interview, Dan was like, so Sammy, tell me about this sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle. And Sammy say, well, damn, back when I was in Van Halen, I'd just point to my roadie and say, I want her, her, and her. And the next thing you know, I was backstage with all of them while Eddie did his guitar solo. And Dan said, oh, that's more than I needed to know.
Positively filthy.
But you know something? I really like Sammy Hagar. I mean, he is the Red Rocker, and the dude is 68 years old. And he still looks really good for his age. And think about it, Alice Cooper is also 68. And doesn't he kind of look 90?
Old enough to be labeled a fossil.
But I'll tell you, I also watched a live Alice Cooper concert on AXS, and it was really good. His band is kind of young, so it doesn't feel like you're sitting there watching a bunch of old geezers play. And I thought Alice still sang pretty well.
I used to be such a sweet, sweet thing till they got a hold of me. I opened doors for little old ladies, I helped the blind to see. I got no friends 'cause they read the papers, they can't be seen with me. And I'm getting real shot down and I'm feeling mean. No more Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Clean, no more Mr. Nice Guy. It's a, he's sick, he's obscene.
Well, hey, you know, someday when I turn 68, I'm guessing that I will also sound like Pat Boone. Regardless, if you get a chance to see Alice Cooper live, I suggest that you do so, even if it is just on TV.
Mr. Nice Guy, no more Mr. Clean, no more Mr. Nice Guy. They said he's sick, he's obscene.
All right, here we go with the finals of the top 10 playoffs. And we've got the Cinderella story, Tim Brabender from Wisconsin, going up against the wily veteran, Mr. David Whiteman.
Who is that?
Both of them took different approaches to get to the championship. Tim's list of LPs, concerts, and events that shaped him as a young man growing up in the 70s kind of touched that nostalgic side of me. And then you had David's list where he predicted the next musicians to die, and it appealed to that part of me that said, is this list even appropriate for this show? And I said, yes, it is.
You're a sick freak!
And so just to review, Tim's list included stuff like the live Lynyrd Skynyrd album, Frampton Comes Alive, Stars, what an underrated band they are, concerts he saw in the 70s like Foghat, Ted Nugent, Head East, and REO, Circus and Cream Magazine, Blue Oyster Cult and their Lasers, seeing Kiss in Green Bay, and at number one he had Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith. And yeah, I mean, I remember rolling around town cruising in my Ford Galaxy, listening to eight tracks of Kiss Rock and Roll Over, Aerosmith Rocks, and Toys in the Attic. So Tim's list completely took me back to a good time in my life.
Oh, that is so nice.
On the other hand, David's list made me think about the end of my life. Yes, and David predicted that some of the musicians to die next will be Roger Waters, John Anderson from Yes, Ginger Baker, and at number one he had Keith Richards. And as much of a bummer as it is to think about that, it is something that we all have to deal with. Because let's face it, death is inevitable. Kind of like it's inevitable that all kinds of crazy, unexplained crap is going to happen during our lives. And that's when it struck me. What would be more unpredictable than Mr. David Whiteman winning the top 10 playoffs?
Absolutely nothing.
That's right, and that's why I'm surprised and frankly a little bit shocked to announce that Mr. David Whiteman is your new top 10 champion. Well, congratulations, David. Who would have ever predicted this? But you have done it, and you will now receive an amazing prize package.
The contents of the amazing prize package will be determined shortly before its delivery. All contestants will have the right to refuse the amazing prize package based on the fact that it may or may not be all that amazing. If upon receiving the amazing prize package, you experience high blood pressure, dizziness, or nausea, please consult a physician. Symptoms may be the result of complete and utter disappointment.
Once again, thanks to everyone who sent me a list this year. And if it's one thing we've learned from this year's playoffs, it's that literally anybody can win.
Seems pretty obvious.
I mean, just send me a list. It doesn't even have to be that good.
You're right as hell about that, mister.
But congratulations once again to David Whiteman. He joins the ranks of previous top 10 winners such as Jimmy the Freak, John Huff in Canada, Matt in St. Louis, Brady Jennings in Washington, and Jimmy G in Chicago. And I think if you asked any of those guys, they would tell you that a top 10 championship is something you can never take away from them. So what a great tournament it was. Truly unforgettable.
This was asinine.
And that is going to do it, my friends, for another episode of the Rockcast. If you'd like to get yourself a Rockcast t-shirt or order my CDs or paintings, be sure to go to MontyColvin.net.
Millions of folks pursue the site daily.
If you'd like to contact me, you can reach me there or on Facebook. One such person to do that is Scott Gibson. And Scott said, "Monty, so sorry to hear about your encounter with the not-so-Rolling Stones. I hope you're not in too much pain, but if you need to complain, I'm a stone's throw away. Just remember, this too shall pass." Well, thanks, Scott. Unfortunately, I'm still dealing with the kidney stones. I've got another procedure lined up next week that they're going to do on me. And I guess we'll see. Hopefully they'll go away eventually. Because I'm not gonna lie, this whole thing has been really painful.
Oh, for crying out loud, now you're just a crybaby.
And finally, I got an email from my buddy Joseph Glenn who said, "Hey Monty, I've been listening to one of my favorite albums tonight, Saigon Kick's Devil in the Details. What do you think of that album?" Well, Joseph, I bought that album a long time ago, and I really liked it. It had some stuff on there that rocked, but it had a lot of really good ballads, too. I think Jason Bieler is a great songwriter. I love the vocal harmonies. And I think I'll play us out with a song off that CD called All Around. I hope you enjoy it, and come back and listen to me next time. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. and
rock on.
One, two, three.
This has been Monty's Rockcast.
In your face.